I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends his Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Praise God. It's good to be with each and every one of you again. I do have a guest in the audience, well, in with me here today, and he's a friend of mine, and I think he has a beautiful mission that he's started, and I invited him in a couple times, and it didn't come to pass, but today we're together here in the studio. So I just want to introduce to you, first and foremost, George Marshalek, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about George first. And George was born in Pittsburgh. Oh, man. Okay, I won't bring up the football teams, but he's a cradle Catholic, and since 2020, he started a ministry, and his name of his ministry is Salvation of Souls. And it's a beautiful ministry. And in these days, in these times, particularly for these times, the Lord is raising up many, many ministries, raising up people in business, in different parts of the laity, raising up different priests, particularly for these times. We know that Our Lady, I've said every time I give a retreat, I personally believe with all my heart and soul that the fulfillment of the prophecy at Fatima for Our Lady, that the greatest battle the world has ever seen or will ever see has been for these times and for these days. And so we are actually living them. We're living in those days, and that's why I think George's apostolate, his ministry, is specifically for these days. But before we go into all that, I just want to praise and thank God, as I always do, for each and every one of you. You literally are the backbone behind my apostolate, whether it's my speaking, whether it's retreats, whether it's this radio apostolate. It's you. You have been the backbone behind my apostolate. So I'm going to remind you, as I do all the time, you are my team of evangelists that the Lord has given to me. And I'm blessed. And so I want to remind you that these are live streamed. And push your share button, that this word can go out to all the people that God would want to send this message to today. I want to praise and thank God for the beautiful, once again, a beautiful Advent retreat that Father Blunt and I do every year. And that's always just a blessing, not only to the people. It's a blessing to myself. I can tell you that I greatly am blessed. And I say it all the time, without you, there is no Kathleen McCarthy's apostolate on the radio. And without all of you praying and asking the Lord to bless my apostolate and all that I've been involved in all these years, I owe to you. If it wasn't for you, through your prayers for this radio apostolate, you know, that's an old intro that comes on or goes out either way. When it comes to this radio apostolate is going on 40 years. Well, now it's going on 50 years. And 46 years, this Catholic Radio Apostolate, which was, I changed the name and all, but originally it was In His Sign Network. I changed it to Kathleen, In His Sign, Catholic Radio. And it was important to me that it, Catholic identity was in there right from the title. So Dominic started this, as you know, and we're coming up on his anniversary soon in January at his passing. And he started this in his basement, imagine. And now this goes out all over the world. So I just want to praise and thank God for all of you. I mean this when I say I have the very best. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on you. I have the most faithful, loyal, beautiful, what shall I say? You are my evangelist. I tell you that all the time. But you're my prayer warriors. You are everything that forwards the gospel. You are everything in my life that sends this program forth. So you're the good news, and you hitting your share button even helps evangelize all of those that you know. So he has to work for all of us, not for a couple of us, not for some of us, by virtue of our baptism, for every single one of us. And so I want to praise and thank God. I have my good friend Patrick in here today, who I don't usually have the privilege of seeing or working with on Thursdays, but my good friend also is not feeling well today. Frank, who usually does our engineering and produces the program on Thursdays. So, Frank, get well. You're always missed. And to Patrick, I can always say, my goomba! He's going to give me the hand signal. Give me this. And that's what he is to me. He's been a friend, and can I tell you that Patrick is such a godly man. He's a wounded healer, and God has brought him into this business, and he's done nothing but given yeses, and God blesses yeses. So I'm going to turn to my friend George, and I just want to share a couple more things about him that you probably wouldn't know. And it's about his life before salvation of souls. He's 45 years in the healthcare information tech. He's has three children, six grandchildren. He's a third degree knight. Now, I love the knights. I do a lot of speaking for the knights. And he's 25 years teaching CCD or whatever it's called today.
Prep.
And 20 years in parish leadership, pastoral, finance, stewardship. And the last 5 years he also spent in Catholic private education. So with all that, George, I want to welcome you into the program. And I want the people to know a little bit more. I mean, I've spoken there, but this isn't the same as coming from the lips of the very person that began this apostolate, and I know you co-founded, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to tell us a little bit to give them a better understanding of what Salvation of Souls does and why you were led to begin this ministry.
Sure, I'd be glad to. Thank you very much for having me. I'm humbled to be on the show. I listen periodically, and just I'm amazed at the people that you have and the beauty of the Catholic truth that's talked here all the time, the miracles, the faith in the Holy Spirit. And there's so much. Why you and I think, hit it off right away was all that you do in your apostolate, SOS was established to do the same type of things. Mm-hmm. It's not in a street apostolate. It's not. My wife died in April of 2020, so it's 4.5 years ago. And by December of that year, the Lord had called me to start an apostolate, Catholic, lay-led, and lay-delivered, to try to reach those who had either fallen away from the Lord, were under-catechized,
right,
under-informed, and that we weren't going to just become speakers ourselves, but rather get nationally recognized people or programs,
right,
and that we would be the delivery vehicle. We're all, the five original people, the five co-founders, we're all from St. Elizabeth Parish in Chester Springs. We've all ended up in four different parishes now over 5 years with moves, et cetera. So the beauty is we even have seeds planted now in multiple parishes where we were in one parish at the time. And each of us today have not only grown SOS by following the Spirit, but each of our individual lives have radically changed in the ministry and the work that we do both within our parishes as well as otherwise. Mm-hmm. And it's all through the Holy Spirit. We, approximately 2 years ago, right before you had spoke at SOS, right, we'll talk a little bit about that. And you'll hear me use SOS over and over.
Right.
It's deeply ingrained.
Yeah.
We like the fact that the acronyms stated the sense of urgency,
exactly,
for the battle that we faced. In all of 2023 and 2024, we've recognized spiritual warfare is intense, and it's beyond anything that we've seen in our lifetime. I'm now 70, and I've seen a lot. I mean, I've served traditional Latin masses. I go back to pre-Vatican II, and I've never seen anything like, and that's really why it got started. We saw that good Catholics were not being prepared to deal with the issues that the world's presenting,
right,
to us day in and day out. Not only were we under-catechized, but we weren't hearing regularly and consistently from our pastors and our priests, not to criticize them.
Right.
As a knight, and throughout SOS, we love our priests, we pray for them, we're there to support them, but we just weren't getting the consistent message of, you know, you never heard the word abortion mentioned, you never heard anything about same-sex marriage, you never heard anything about mutilation of children in transgender environments,
cool,
and it all touched all of us at the heart, and we said, how can we begin to get the word out? And we felt rather than us try to do it ourselves, we would do it through great Catholics like you and Jesse Romero,
right,
and Mark, and I'll talk a little bit about what we did in 2023. And the feedback has been great because people go, I don't know where else I would get this type,
yeah,
of information.
Right.
We don't avoid the Archdiocese, but as an independent lay ministry, we're able to take a lot of freedom. So when the Holy Spirit calls,
yeah,
we move quickly.
Right.
I think Mark and I met in November of 2022, right before his trial. And I said, would you be willing to speak at a SOS event on the cost of being a Catholic in 2023?
Right.
Bring your story to what it's like to stand up for pro-life and to present yourself in front of Planned Parenthood. And he said, as long as I'm not indicted, I'd be glad to. And we literally had him scheduled 2 weeks after his acquittal, and he told the most beautiful story of how it was his Stations of the Cross,
mm-hmm,
and how 75 people supported him the night before his,
yeah,
trial in adoration and prayer and rosary.
Right.
Those are the kind of stories that SOS would like to get out there, because you can't really find them. You can get them on podcasts.
Right.
But we find a real power in arriving together, because we always start the evening with adoration and with a rosary, some prayer and worship, and then we have the talk, and there's always social fellowship afterwards. That's just one dimension of what we've tried to do. But the speaker series has touched a lot of people, and we're blessed to have you last October.
Right.
2023, and you spoke about spiritual warfare within,
yeah,
the family.
Yeah.
And how do we stand up to that evil? And how do we even better prepare our young parents? Because there's nowhere parents to turn to get education on how to be Catholic parents in the world today.
That's right.
So those are the type of things that, and why SOS was set up. We're in complete alignment with the church. We are traditional in our viewpoint, as you Father Blunt are. We take strong stands on this is what we were taught. Right. This is where the dogma's at. But we rely on nationally recognized experts and nationally recognized programs. And I'll talk about Father John Ricardo's rescue project in a little bit. But those type of, we don't ever want to be in the position to go, who are you as lay people to teach us?
Right.
So we're trying to bring the experts and the programs to do that for us.
Right. And that's beautiful. And you know, there's such a need. God doesn't, what shall I say, he doesn't raise people up just to raise them up. He raised them up because in the church, there is a need. There's a need for people to understand the times and the days and the evils. You know, how will I say? For the past, I guess, 30-some years, working, you know, with teams of and in teams of deliverance and working with two teams of priests from our diocese and another diocese, and you wouldn't believe the evil that is taking place in the world, and yet it's happening in our own lives, and it's not recognized as spiritual warfare, and that's why I thought this ministry was really a powerful tool, teaching lay people, and you know, I don't know, George, if any of you have gone through, you know, in our own diocese with being trained in deliverance and spiritual warfare and so forth. But they ask me all the time, why, Kathleen, are there so many exorcists today? More than, like, you barely heard the word years and years ago. And I said, I believe because there's so much evil in the world today. And the Lord, in his power and his might and his light and his love, comes to dispel that darkness, and particularly in the homes. You know, when I, you know, even before you, when I was a kid, everybody wanted their child to either be a cop or a priest. I mean, that's just the way it was, you know. Oh, if my son could be a priest. My son could be in the police force. It was, that was the dream because, in, you know, those days, it was when the Great Commission, you know, go and make disciples. That, at that time, was so ensconced in the church and the family that every home really was the first teacher. And we've gotten away from that. We've gotten away from the church being the domestic church in the home. And that's why we've lost such an opportunity, I personally believe, for our own children. They are, you know, they didn't have, slowly but surely, you know, in the 1900s and then, you know, further down the road, 1980s, if you look at the statistics, it's dropped down considerably. I mean, in the times when the church was vibrant, as far as church is always vibrant and alive, but when you wouldn't have even considered missing mass, you just got dressed Sunday, and I mean dressed, not walking in a pair of ripped off, you know, shorts in the summer up to your butt, but a respect and a dignity. A lot of that's been lost for mass. And so I really think it was a slow but gradual. When I was a kid, I looked up the statistics just the other day, and 68% of the populace in the United States of America professed to be strong Christian families, whether it be Catholic or Christian or, you know, or Judeo-Christian faith. They were believers. And every year it went down and down and down. And I'm talking on the full, the populace of the United States of America today. You have less than 5% of the entire nation, much less than 5%, claims to be a Christian home, raising their children in the faith. We sort of pushed the duty off. We got busy, too busy, and I think our children in our own homes, we have failed to teach. The first catechist is the parents, and I think we got too dependent and too busy, and so we got other people involved. Well, there's a youth group here. Get a ride over there, and you know, put your children here, and the next thing you know, that firm mandate, or I'll call it the commissioning of go and make disciples. We forgot that the disciples we had first, and our own responsibility was our children. And I think we're paying the price for that in these last few generations, particularly last two generations. So I have to agree about the, I really do believe, little catechist for sure, but so many. I think we've lost two generations of uncatechized or very little catechized people. Which brings to the thought of why this is, you know, your program, programs in spiritual warfare and deliverance, and you know, that's what's needed now, and it's better late
really
than
is.
Never.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead on about what you feel, why you feel,
well,
why
couple,
did you
couple
feel
thoughts,
personally?
Couple thoughts to your comments first, if you'd please remember
sure.
the question, so I don't cut you off. USCCB and Catholic Leadership Institute have done studies that show it's like 4% of
yeah.
people that you would consider to be still actively practicing Catholic, fully
yeah.
practicing,
yeah.
at least weekly Sunday Mass and confession, and that it's like 82% that are lukewarm or part-time,
yeah.
and we've gone to 15% that are nuns.
That's right.
No religious at all. So the problem that SOS has faced is it's very easy to get the 5% that come to our events because they're studying this type of stuff.
Yeah.
Our real challenge is how do we get to the 82% regularly? And Father Mike Schmitz does a great job through Bible in a Year and
yeah.
Catechism in a Year. And they're wonderful, and Chris Stefanik, and
yeah.
the, we would never try to compete with them.
Yeah.
That they have a place, but what we are constantly struggling with in our planning is how can we, in the type of programs and teachings that we're trying to bring out, address the 82%, because mm-hmm. we just don't want to be around the core. That's one thought. The other one is you asked, have any of you undergone exorcism training?
Well, not exorcism, that's for a priest, but deliverance.
Deliverance, right, yes.
Yeah.
I think all of us had our eyes open greatly when we had Jesse Romero mm-hmm. last September, and he was in for two nights.
Yeah.
And he did double sessions both evenings he was there. He did Father Ripperger's methodology, Liber Christo, written by Dan Schneider, walked us through, and I think even the 5% were stunned.
Yeah.
At the statistics and the examples yeah. and the type of evil that we face in the world today. The good news was we walked out going, well, just good spiritual practice and regular confession, you can deal with a lot of that.
That's right.
Eliminate deliverance from that. And there really is a very small percentage that require exorcists. So those are two thoughts, and I cut you off on your question, but maybe you could go back to it.
No, the only question was I was just going to reiterate and say, why don't you answer for yourself, not even speaking about the people you're trying to get the word out about SOS, but for George Marshalek.
Yeah.
When did you realize this was an important kind of a ministry, and men need it, and women need it? And I'm going to do something about this. I feel the Lord calling me. And who's your co-founder?
There are five of us that are the co-founders.
Okay.
There's Chris Hill, Ginny Switak, was part of the core group, Joe Howard, and I'm sure I'll forget someone and they'll be mad at me. But there was the core group
okay.
of the five of us. And I think all of us knew of the spiritual warfare. We just didn't understand there was an approach that you could take to deal with it.
Right.
And that we should be trying to educate other people. One, that there is an existence. I had a man in my prayer group for the 5 years leading up to the start of SOS who said there is no devil. There is no evil.
That's what I'd like you to think.
And exactly. And this was a practicing Catholic who went to Mass every single day and received communion, but didn't believe that evil manifests itself in the world. Having gone through the Rescue Project, I believe he's come around, but we don't know. Personally, I knew my entire adult life that I was prone to temptation. And that was probably 30 years anyhow, from the time I was 21 and started having children into my 50s, before I really came to grips with the power of evil in my life. And it was only when I left corporate America in 2009 and I went on a one-week silent retreat at the old Jesuit Center in Wernersville, which is now gone.
Yeah.
I spent many weeks there in retreat. I got my spirituals director certification there. At my pastor's recommendation, because I said, I have a hole in my soul. And little I realized it was a direct result of the spiritual warfare that I was fighting as a highly successful person in the world, neglecting really my number one calling, which was to keep Christ. And I was going to daily Mass at the time.
Yeah.
Yet you could feel this, it's not right. There's a hole there. And I thank him that I went on that retreat, because it was that night on retreat, the last night before I left, that I had two great awakenings. One, that he loved me greatly and he forgives me, and the two, he was there to help me fight in the battle. And that was 15 years ago, so my life's been radically different over the 15 years. Even leading up to Judy's death, I had already begun to make major changes in my life. But then when she died, and I knew his calling was get 100% into, surrender to me completely, and serve those most in need, what you've received free of charge, give away with no cost.
Yeah.
And everybody in SOS has that exact same attitude. We charge for nothing.
Right.
We bill nothing. You know, sometimes I'm criticized for like, well, you got to build a little bit of a coffer to protect us. It's like the Lord will provide.
I agree,
he always does.
Yep.
He always does. In all of our events, all of our programs, he's just always there. So it was probably I had that feeling for a long time, and it was probably 15 years ago that I finally came to grips with it and was able to make the radical changes I needed in my life.
Right.
And when you ask, when you knock, the doors opened, and God gave me the graces to say. And fortunately, it happened 10 years before my wife died, because while we didn't have a bad marriage, we had a beautiful marriage the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're living in sin and we're living in self-centered approaches, your marriage suffers.
Oh, absolutely. And your parenting suffers.
It does. And I think everybody would say the same thing.
Absolutely.
I don't think this is unique to George.
It's not. It's certainly not.
So I was blessed that I had 10 great years for her. I was great. Blessed that I had 3 months with her in hospice in my home. Mm. And it was all through the gifts of the Lord. And, you know, my journey continues. I have no idea what he has planned for me, but I'm deeply grateful that I understand that every turn of the bend to the rest of your and my life, evil's going to be there working on us.
It sure is. That's what concupiscence is all about, right?
It will always be there.
Yeah, we lean. We actually lean to sin. Mm-hmm. And that's what people don't realize. And that's the beauty in our one holy Catholic Church. We have the sacraments, and our sacraments are so healing. They're such a gift. I mean, Jesus called the Good Shepherd, right? Because perfectly named, because sheep are the dumbest animals created. Patrick's in there laughing. But scientifically, they are said to be the dumbest animals walking on this earth. And that's why Jesus called himself he's called the Good Shepherd, because we need to be led. A lot of times people wander off from the Lord, from their faith, a lot of our children, family, friends. And you read where he broke the leg of the lamb, carried him so he could carry him everywhere he went with him, so he could get close. And that lamb became whole and well and never left the shepherd after that. And that's what we all need to remember, that the Good Shepherd, he is the wounded healer. He has suffered everything we could ever possibly think of and anything we have ever experienced, even to the things that have ripped our hearts apart and brought us, you know, maybe people into despair. How do you think he felt when everybody he knew and loved him, you know, as soon as they thought might happen to them, would happen to him? We never knew him. I didn't know him. But we are his love. We're his heartthrobs, as I call my own children, my heartthrobs. We're his. And these kind of apostles, these kind of missions, this kind of work is for the entire church. It's not for a little bit of people. This world is, you know, what you call good, they say is evil. What you call evil, they say is good. And so he needs us all to step into the grace, as I said over the weekend at Malvern, to go out into the world and make a difference. Be his voice. He blesses the feet of those who bring good news. Say yes. God blesses yeses. It never depends on us. Doesn't depend on George. Doesn't depend on Father Jim Blunt. It's not for Kathleen McCarthy. It's for everybody. If Patrick doesn't come in today, there is no radio program to bring it down to the true level. If Patrick doesn't come in this office today, I could call on a phone over Jersey, but I couldn't broadcast out of my studio here. So it's all of us together. Some he raises in different ministries, but he's raised us up for his purpose and his plan. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, hello there. We're back again, and I'm used to my 2 hours, so we have an hour today, and I'm trying to get all that I can get in on this hour. I know Father and I usually go over every Thursday. Well, I certainly do, and when he's with me, we go over the gospel, and we break that gospel open and share it with you over the air. However, because of just having this 1 hour today, I wanted to get as much in as I could, and that's the reason I invited George in, to talk about some of the programs that they're involved in now, what is available, and I also wanted to bring up the fact that they usually put on your events at Malvern, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So just for your information, I think it's very worthwhile. As he says, they don't charge for anything. You know, I've been going back and forth with so many people through the years about that. As you know, I don't take a salary. I don't have a salary. Nothing. Zilch. I don't have a husband to bring home a salary. So I can relate wholeheartedly. Matter of fact, I said to George, my bank is called Divine Providence, and has never failed, or never early, but it's never late. It's right on time, and this is good. And I'll tell you what, when I go speak and they say, you know, well, such and such covered, or how about this? I said, that's up to you. I will not charge a fee, a set fee. I said, you know what the price is of going evangelist, or you know what you want to be able to bless someone that you bring in. And never once, even when I've been in the inner city where these people don't have anything, I went down to a church in Kensington, and after I was done speaking, these people were wonderful, and they were the poorest of the poor. And Father gave me, they took up a collection, and Father gave me the collection. And I said, I don't want you to tell the people, but I want you to give it back to the people in some way or somehow. I want them, not to rob them of dignity, but I want this to go back to the people. I have never, God has blessed me so abundantly when I've gone out and speak. When I least expect it, somebody will give me an envelope. And little did they know I need new tires. So that's how God works. He gives you whatever you need. He calls you to go out into the vineyard, to go out to build up the kingdom of God, and just to trust him. Just to trust him. And that's why on Sunday, or Saturday, I think it was, I had a lot of conferences this weekend. I think four, and then the healing service. But I honestly, in my whole heart and soul, can say, if we know and we trust in him to be all our all in all, he never, ever lets us down. He's always there for us. And I told a story about setting the table. So God will supply our needs. We just have to give him our yes. George has, he's given his yes. And it takes a lot of courage and a lot of grace and a lot of holy boldness to step into the grace. Grace we have, but to use it, you got to step into it. And when we step into that grace, and George has given God his yes, and his other four people on his, you know, his team, he blesses yeses. There's no other way to say it. And so I wanted to ask George to go into some other details about what kind of programs he has. And they're varied, okay? They're varied. So, George, I'm going to ask you to give a little synopsis of something that you think your people that you're putting on now as SOS, very different parts of spiritual warfare, and not always is it spiritual warfare, correct?
That's true. There are events that really, in one of the programs that we've run is called Called and Gifted.
Know it.
And it allows you to focus on your charisms.
Yes.
And what skills God's given you to use through the Holy Spirit to bring gifts to others.
Right.
And Chris Hill, who's a member of our team, has even trained others of us that we offer it mm-hmm. into a parish where a pastor would love to run the Called and Gifted.
Right.
And I suspect Chris has run it 4, 5, 6 different parishes at this time.
It's beautiful.
It is.
I did that for the archdiocese years ago. Yeah.
They begin to see the world differently in that they have a higher self-awareness, a higher
self-esteem. There's resources.
And again, it's a proven national program that we yeah. use. We don't try to do it ourselves. I want to go back for a minute, though, to offering our services for free. We have a great partner in Regina Luminous Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Not only has Malvern been great to us in making the facilities available that we need with unbelievable hospitality and great service, but Regina Luminous is partnered to always cover the expense of
yeah.
Malvern.
Yeah,
so you
that.
Find those kind of partners yeah. that just allow things to happen. And so I'm not accused of lying. We charge $20 for 5 or 6 hours with Jesse Romero on spiritual warfare because we had $5,000 in expenses to cover him coming from the West Coast.
Right.
But $20 for two nights, people was like, was that both each night? No, it's like, no.
Yeah.
And we were able to cover our expenses by doing that. But our goal was to be able to offer all of them free of charge. I want to add one other thing on Jesse because it's an attempt again for us to shift into programs. Regina Lumen has opened up their school to 150 of their sixth grades and higher for Jesse to talk to them for 90 minutes.
Right.
And he talked to them about life and what it means at their age. And he really gave great examples and pointed to them. And I think it had a great impact on all the young children.
Right.
And that's where we're trying to diversify in the audiences we can hit. We're not going to go after young adults per se because there are enough apostolates and programs out there. But we would support an apostolate trying to hit address young adults like that if we knew there was a depth of value that we could bring. But in addition to Called and Gifted, which has been very, very well received, as the speaker series has been, is Father John Ricardo's Rescue Project. He recorded over a weekend retreat, 9 30 to 40 minute sessions on kerygma, two of them on the power of God and his creative abilities, two of them on evil came into the world and dominates, two of them on Christ is the answer, and then three of them, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a call to you to look at, yeah, you can dwell in the evil of the world, but Christ came, and you got to understand,
amen,
we've been saved, he's won the war, but what are you going to do? And of the 30 people that have gone through it so far, 25 people that have gone through it so far, almost every single person has said it's been life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
And while it's available that you could bring it into a parish on your own, we've led it, we've got the workbooks, we've got the questionnaires, and we commit to facilitate it. Art Healy, who's also on our team, which, by the way, our team's gone from the original 5 to 10 now,
mm-hmm,
because we were running so many programs, 5 of us couldn't do it well. But Art and I were blessed to offer it to a senior Catholic singles group, men and women, all over 60 years old, and they went through it, and the group grew week by week to where we ended up with 12 people watching all 9 episodes and literally being touched to the core.
Beautiful.
On Way to Go. And when they're called and they understand, because again, it does hit the evil part, when sessions 3 and 4 are all about the enemy is the enemy.
Right.
And if you haven't heard Father John Ricardo on EWTN or seen any of his videos, I strongly recommend take a look at one of his videos, or his sermons, and you'll be touched by his power and the simplicity around which he delivers very complex subjects.
Mm-hmm.
So we've adopted the Rescue Project, and we will take it anywhere that a parish or a group, an independent group, would like.
Okay.
I've even talked to Joe Aquilani at Shanahan, Bishop Shanahan, to see if that would be something he'd want to run after school. So we're constantly looking for just, you know, we don't have one program and this is all we do.
Yeah.
And we run this play over and over and over again. We try to go where the Holy Spirit leads us.
And that's important.
And to meet a need.
And that's what I wanted to bring out. Like, I happen to know you have different programs, and there's a lot of people don't want to be drawn into spiritual warfare, right? They don't want, for a lot of different reasons, and I don't have the time to go into it today, but they just don't. It makes mm-hmm. them uneasy. They're not comfortable with it. But there are so many other now everything, you know, myself, every Catholic minister, every Christian minister, You will touch on spiritual warfare. That's part of life.
Mm-hmm.
But to these programs are things that are edifying every single person in all their walks of life. John Ricardo, you just mentioned Father John and his programs. Mike Schmidt, just so many different programs that you can take now into parishes. So suppose somebody's listening today and they say, you know what, I'm going to look into this. How can they reach you and want to find out more information of how to contact somebody, what subject matters they're interested in, what programs they're interested in? You want to give them a contact?
Sure.
A website?
I'll even give you my personal cell phone number, but Our website is salvationofsouls.net.
Okay.
That's very important. .net.
Yeah.
.com was gone.
Yeah.
And on there is contact, points of contact, email addresses that you could call. My cell phone's there. But if you want to contact me directly or send me, I would just ask for a text in advance because honestly, I do not pick up phone calls of numbers that I don't have. You're going to end up in voicemail anyhow. Yeah. So if you would text me, and let you know if you had interest from there. My cell phone number is 484-942-6974. And I'd be glad to give you a call back and chat and connect you with the right person in the group.
Right.
If it makes sense. So we're finalizing our 2025 plans right now. So even your offer for the contact information, if you had areas of interest or desire or programs or things that you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear it because like any survey or planning process, the more you hear the same thing over and over, the more you're being told there's something there.
Exactly right. In these days, I really wholeheartedly believe that if we're born in these days, like people say all the time, well, Kathleen, the world's in a terrible state. And, you know, you live in a sense of what ifs or what's going on. And, you know, it brings anxiety or fear or doubts. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to doubt. We read the last chapter of the book. We know Jesus Christ is victorious. That means we're victors. So I just want to assure people that he doesn't, I say it all the time, I said it Sunday probably, he doesn't want warriors. They're of no use. He tells us in the scriptures, fear is useless. He didn't say it wasn't a good idea. He didn't say, I understand your fear. He said, fear is useless and it's not of God. So if we are caught in fear, we need to go to something like these programs or we have to go to find yourself a prayer group, find yourself a community, find like-minded people, get a good spiritual director, because these are difficult times. The Lord doesn't say they're not difficult times, and he tells us we're going to be persecuted. Hey, if they persecute him, don't you think they're going to persecute us? The difference is he is Emmanuel. He is God with us all the time. And the more we open ourselves up to his power, the more power we have available to each and every one of us.
Amen.
So again, I just quickly give me that website again.
www.salvationofsouls.net.
And I'm going to, this was on my desk when I came in, and I had a message to please read it today. Apparently, I did read it the last minute, and I didn't even have it. Somebody wanted me to read it, and I couldn't find it on my phone. But then Mario called in, and called Dennis. Dennis brought it in, and Mario sent it over. Well, we had so many people ask if they could have a copy, and others asked, could I read it again? So I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to go back to George so that we can give some last-minute thoughts. This hour goes so fast. This is a prayer, a poem. It's called, Can You Hear This Baby Cry? The Father sent his own true Son to be born of Mary's womb. And yet as Joseph and Mary searched for this child, there was no room. How can this be, dear Joseph thought. No room for Yahweh's son. Dismayed and sad, he tried again. And finally, just this one. A drafty, damp, and smelly stable where sheep and mules abide. As Joseph looked with love at Mary, He wanted to give up and cry. I know God will take care of you. After all, it is his son. But deep inside, anxiety grew, for her time had finally come. So tired and so weary now, concern showing on her face, she looks about in disbelief. Can this stable be my birthing place? Amidst the odor and the cold was born the King of Kings, and snuggled in his mother's arms for warmth against the winds. This little tiny holy child was truly God Most High. How could his mother comprehend that for the world he'd die? I shall name this child Jesus, Joseph was heard to say. His heart swelled for love of Mary as she laid the child in the hay. This newborn infant baby boy, who was born of Mary's flesh, had his little sacred heart tucked in his tiny chest. Oh, can you see him yawning now or stretching in the manger? This tiny boy of Mary's, this tiny little stranger. This little baby Jesus with his charismatic heart had no place to rest his head right from the very start. Mary kissed his outstretched hands, caressed his little feet, being unaware, of course, that nails would pass through each. This warm and tender baby boy, so flawless and unmarred, would one day hang upon a cross, bloody, pain-racked, and scarred. Can you hear this baby cry? He cries for you and I. For all the sins we will commit, for you and I, he'll die. He'll die so each of us will live forever through his birth, so we will never, ever forget what each of us is worth. So my brothers and sisters, if you would like a copy of that, you can call in and we will mail you a copy of it. That has gone all over the world, and it's preached during Advent and Christmas season and during Lent. And so I'd be glad to send you a copy if you would like it. And for you and I, George, we are winding down. We're ready for the King of Kings, the Lord is Lord. And wishing everybody a beautiful and blessed last few days of Advent. If you feel you've failed in all the things you wanted to do for Advent, like St. Paul, he did the very things he didn't want to do, but didn't do the things he felt called to do. And that's human nature. That is what concupiscence is. And so, you know, maybe we have a few days left. Maybe this is a time to go to that website and to look at something that you feel God would call you to, or maybe you feel a nudging and prompting of the Spirit for a specific area. Advent is almost over. The Christmas season begins. Now, I won't see you till after Christmas. There are many men who were born to be kings, but there was only one king who was called to be a man. And his name is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He's always with you. You're never alone. And he stepped out of his world to enter into each of our worlds. So I wish you a beautiful, holy, peaceful, wonderful Christmas. And remember, I love you.
And I mean it.
George, you want to...
Let me wrap up. Thank you so much for having me. I've been blessed to have been at 3, if not 4, of your Advent retreats with Father Blunt. And I tell you, I come away with just beautiful, different blessings each and every time. And for those of you that were there, you'll remember this summary, but this was Kathleen's closing comments at the conference on Sunday morning. And I took detailed notes because it was like, that's what SOS is trying to do. Her comments were, we are loved, chosen, and called. Will we respond? We have been prepared for mighty works. Mm-hmm. Not ordinary work, mighty works. And we have the fullness of spirit, and we all have different charisms. Can't look at other people and see what they're better at than us. We all have our role, and we must step into Christ's grace, as Kathleen did a moment ago. We lack nothing, and we must be prepared to be a light to the world. Say yes to the call. And we all have the strength through the Holy Spirit. And as Kathleen said today, after the silence of adoration, be not silent. Mm. May we all go out and help save souls in a world today that badly needs it. Thank you so much for having me today.
It's been a blessing.
I love you, and I mean it.
Thank you, George. God is good. I wish, first off, for all of you, all the gifts, little gift bags. You know me pretty well. I know I like dark chocolate. You got my little secrets down. All your beautiful cards. Your love, your generosity move my heart to the deepest center of my being. And that's why I always can say, when I say I love you, I can always say, I mean it. But it's time for you to stand up and speak out. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. God has called you by name. He's given you a personal mandate to go out and proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I just want to close with a, is that a call in? It's okay. I just want to close. I want to remind everybody after this program ends in a couple minutes, Dr. Anton Raimondo will be doing the program immediately thereafter. And he always has a beautiful program. I met him under most unusual circumstances when I was asked to speak at Malvern one time years ago. And Anton and I, our eyes met, and boy, I knew that God had a work for him. And I began to pray with him and talk to him, and I told him that he would be a wounded healer, that he would be doing what I do. And sure enough, that has come to pass. He's a beautiful servant of God. And so I encourage you to stay on, and he will be on momentarily. As soon as I sign off, he will sign in. So my brothers and sisters, I'm just going to lift all of you in the spirit as I do on Tuesdays. And Father, I just want to praise and thank you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord God, that your word would go out to remind everybody that we are never, ever alone. That you, Lord, Emmanuel, God with us at every moment of every day and all the good times and all the not so good times. Because, Lord, it is on those mountaintops that we love. But we got to come down off that mountain and live every day in reality. So we ask all those who are listening today that you, Lord, who read hearts, see all their intentions, all their faults, all their failures, all their blessings, all their triumphs, and we commend all the prayers that they are praying for their loved ones or for themselves, that you would hear these prayers, Lord, and answer them in Jesus' name. Ehi ala la mi andres, ehi ala la mi aro. Nondre shoho ala la mi andres, Santa Maria. Kerione shala la mi andro, Jesus. Jesus. God bless you. Merry Christmas.